Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Oh, hello, hello.
Hey there, and howdy.
On a very, very, very delayed Wednesday night. It's early Wednesday for us. It's regular Wednesday for you. Hello from the past.
Yes. And the future.
Yes. But the big thing is that I want to kind of take an over-under, I guess. Bill is going to a Backstreet Boys concert.
Oh, I know you're going to ask me to tell you why.
Yeah. Yes.
Those are lyrics.
the guy who likes the puns the most is the one that's complaining about this.
But the real question is, have you seen Backstreet Boys before?
I saw them with New Kids on the Block. It was before like a combined concert.
No, one of those.
It was NKOTBSB.
So it's just BSB. Oh, who's opening?
Actually, one of their sons is like a country singer or something.
Sounds like that.
Sounds terrible.
And I'm not,
like the Russian,
I don't care.
Yeah. Like the Russian CIA, the NKOTBSB.
Yeah. It's NKOTBSB.
Yeah, NKOTBSB?
Sure. Yeah. That doesn't sound like the Soviet Union's code name. They should have changed their name to New Men on the Block.
Well, they could have also gone ahead. They could have been the New Men on the Block.
Or the old kids on the block.
They could be the Backstreet Men.
Yeah.
They could just tour with Men, which is the Boys to Men of today.
Because
it's over. You're not boys anymore.
Yeah, they started in 91.
Yeah. They're Boys to Men. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Boys to Men, like A, B to Z.
Sure.
There you go.
Sure. I don't think you're going to make it out alive.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be like 15,000 people at TD Garden tomorrow night and 14,999 girls.
Yeah, well, also, aren't you actually attending with a former president of the Backstreet Boys fan club?
Not really, but kind of.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Might as well have been an honorary.
Honorary? She was an honorary Backstreet girl.
She is the world's biggest Backstreet Boys fan.
Oh, man.
That's
going to be uncomfortable for you.
I know. Didn't she literally get like a shout out in like Teen Beat or something? Like, isn't there a photo we've seen?
Did she?
Yeah, something like that.
She got like the
she had level of access to the Backstreet Boys.
I feel like Danny's shown us a picture that literally it's from the magazine and it even has a caption where like young Danielle loves her some or something like like literally Teen Beatty where it's like she decorated an entire wall, sent in the picture, and they were like, check this chick out. She's 16 in 1999 or something.
Yeah, right. God.
Or however.
How do we know that?
That you've mentioned it, I think I have heard that before, but I'm not 100% sure what it
was. Why do we know more about your girlfriend than
you? I don't know.
What's going on? That's really weird.
I wonder if this experience for you is going to be like the time that my parents went to a Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, maybe.
My sister showed up. She had tickets to Taylor Swift at Gillette Stadium.
I like Cobbler Smith.
Yeah. And
Brave Little Taylor Swift.
Brave Little Taylor Swift. My sister gets up to the gate and she goes, hey, here are my tickets. And they go, these don't work. And we know that feeling.
Oh, God.
And they were shocked.
Summer scam.
Suck it, Barclays.
They were shocked. And the guy was like, the tickets are for tomorrow. Like, you came on the wrong day.
Oh.
So they were like, look, here's the deal. Like, just, I'll let you in.
She was in a Charlie Chaplin short.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But they let her in, her and her friends. And so they watched the concert. And my parents were like, oh, I like that Taylor Swift. Let's go to the concert. And then they went. And my dad came home early. And he was like, that was terrible. There were all these little girls that were all just screaming the words to the Taylor Swift song. And I go, that's a you problem, bro.
Yeah, what did he think was
going
to be?
What did you think was going to happen?
Silence? Yeah, they didn't play one Rolling Stones song.
People were going to snap like they do for like slam poetry.
Yeah, like what are like, all of these screaming fanatical like fans of Taylor Swift are just going to sit there and do nothing?
Yeah. Do you think he was mad at the music selection more than anything else?
I don't
know. He had to listen to like 2-3 hours of Taylor Swift.
This is the guy that also went to Italy and then was mad when the Italians wouldn't give him directions to places. And I was like, Dad, look, I was in the North End earlier today, and five people in the span of 15 minutes asked me where the Freedom Trail was, mm-hmm. where the North Church was, and where Paul Revere's house was. Okay? And so it's like, yeah, if I'm in Rome and everybody's like, where's the Roman Colosseum? Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's
especially
like,
I don't speak
your language.
That's the other thing, too. It's like, where can I? I'm so glad I went on a tour because I went to Italy so long ago. Because if I was like there now, I'd be such an ignorant American pig, right?
Right.
Where can I find Michelangelo's David? And be like, no English. And be like, Michelangelo's David. And maybe if I talk with my...
David!
Where's David?
Where do I find Michelangelo's David?
Yeah. Also, very quickly, I don't know why I just thought of this. But
fire, Steve.
The next time, maybe because from one exuberant gay man made me think of another exuberant straight, very, very straight man.
Sure.
Thoughts and prayers with Todd Chrisley.
I saw that on Instagram.
Probably in a lot of trouble because Todd's been in a lot of trouble with like real estate. This is not the first time that the feds have been like, hey, what are you doing with money and stuff? And so I have a feeling he might actually be in real trouble.
Did you see the statement he released?
No.
Oh, so they're linked. Those two things are linked. So basically, at least what Todd Chrisley is claiming is that there was an employee that they had, and the person was like stealing from them.
Okay.
And so when they caught that person, this person went to the courts and was like, hey, this is like they're scamming the government and tax evasion and all these other things.
Okay.
And so then they got brought into court because, hey, you're tax evading and all this other stuff. Todd, the Chrisley family, again, according to the statement, presented all of the arguments, and the judge was like, this is nonsense, and threw it out.
Okay.
Okay. So this guy now doubles down and went to like two or three more judges, and they wouldn't hear it. And now he finally found somebody that's going to hear it. And I forget what the tail end of it is, but basically, this guy struck a deal or something, so he can't be prosecuted for any of this.
Wow. That is needlessly complicated in the life of a very simple heterosexual male who is just trying to get by, make sweet eyes open love to his wife, and definitely think about her the whole time.
Yeah. I actually thought when I saw the picture and then the long caption, I thought we were finally going to get him coming out. That's what we were going to do.
With the kids all hugging him and
you
his
know
wife
what I mean?
And,
like,
and Nanny Mae in the background.
Yeah, it felt like it was just like, you know, maybe it was going to be like a slow reveal and he was going to come out as bisexual first.
Or he was just found in the bathroom with like 9 Republican congressmen.
Yeah, something
you know what
like
I mean?
That.
Now they're all outed.
Yeah.
What a day at that bathroom at the airport.
Yeah. But yeah, do you have the tail end of that, Bill?
It says...
I just feel for Todd.
I'm telling you all this now because we have nothing to hide and have done nothing to be ashamed of.
You just say it like that.
Not only do we know we've done nothing wrong, but we've got a ton of hard evidence and a bunch of corroborating...
Somebody say hard evidence.
Yeah. Corroborating witnesses that proves it anyway, blah, 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 blah. So it's I put it up on the screen. You can read it.
Yeah. So there it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, thoughts and prayers to the Chrisley family.
Well, if anybody is going to get themselves out of a...
sticky jam.
A dark hole in the system.
Yeah, it's going to be that man.
He's very straight.
Yeah. King of the ring.
Yep. He is the king of our hearts. And the
king of the O-ring.
King of the... Oh, jeez. King of...
the C-ring?
King of... yeah, okay.
Cock ring.
Yeah, yep. Thank you. Other king.
King of the ding-a-ling.
All right, yeah.
He's the king of ding-a-ling. Oh, ah, Christmas movie.
Oh, my. The king of... Ring-a-ding-a-ding. Jingle. All right. Ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling.
It's just in a Christmas song.
It's true. We're ding-a-ling.
Hear them ring.
Hear them ring.
Whose dick rings?
Yeah. The other song has you in gay apparel with your ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
Right, Merry Christmas. This is a super holy holiday.
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby, everybody. Who? Yeah. Bing Crosby and Bill Cosby are just two
very opposite.
But they shouldn't have been famous at the same time. It's just not fair to the people.
Right.
Keep them. It's like Jack Nicholson and Jack Nicholas. When I was a kid, I didn't know who the hell was going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, WWE made a pretty cool announcement that on Monday night, that this upcoming Monday night now, depending on when you're listening, maybe your PAV in the year is 2022 and you're using this to, you know, you listen through the archives, which is definitely something that's going to happen in the future.
It's me. Yeah. It's me. It's PAV.
I love PAV.
Did WWE announce that they're actually going to try really in-depth storytelling and character development?
No.
Oh, they're going to bring back an old gimmick from the 90s and everybody's going to be like satiated for 2 minutes?
Appeased? That failed miserably 3 years ago?
Appeased. Yeah. Is that what's going to happen? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Because this is, I will get to it, but I do think this is something that potentially hits the ear better than it actually will be executed, but we'll see. The King of the Ring is coming back, and on face value, because again, in my never-ending pursuit to try to look at the bright side on these things and have some fun, damn it, like Vince McMahon has yelled at us to, I love the idea because I have such fond memories of the King of the Ring. People, longtime listeners of the show know my first live wrestling event was the 2000 King of the Ring. It's a tournament that I think every like wrestling fan that ever watched anything in the 80s or 90s or even early 2000s has super fond memories of, because what this tournament was, if you're a modern wrestling fan, let's just say I'm speaking to somebody that's like under the age of 25 or certainly maybe floating around the 20s, early 20s, the Ring of Honor Top Prospect Tournament used to be called the WWE King of the Ring, where they would take people that actually needed to win this thing that was basically like, look, you are not main event yet, but this is a great opportunity to show that you belong there. It wasn't filled with champions. It wasn't filled with nobodies. It was filled with people on the cusp, and it was very cool because there usually were multiple people that you could actually believe would benefit from winning the tournament, could win the tournament, etc. And I would say, let's just call it 8 out of 10 of their decisions were really good. Yes. Did badass Billy Gunn win the 1998 King of the Ring and it didn't work? Absolutely. But guess who else are Kings of the Rings?
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Triple H was going to, but it won't. No, that was the year he was going. Did he wind up winning it?
He won the next one, I believe.
Did he?
I believe so.
I thought that Triple H wound up getting booted from it, and that was what caused Austin 316.
Yeah, no, that did happen, but the next King of the Ring he won.
Is that correct?
I believe so. I'm gonna double check, but I believe that's what ended up happening.
Because people that I'm sure of are Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, Edge. You know what I mean? Those are guys I can think of right at the top of my head. Ken Shamrock, you can say whatever you want about, you know, King of the Ring Ken Shamrock, but they wanted that guy to be a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And when Ken Shamrock won the King of the Ring tournament, and I believe it was 97?
98.
Was he the 98 King of the Ring? So was Billy Gunn the 99?
99.
King, 99. Yep. All right. And when Ken Shamrock won the 98 tournament, he beat The Rock. And so, like, that would have been a pretty big King of the Ring, too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But the point being is the tournament, I used to love it because it was like, you'd get into this thing and it'd be like, is Chris Jericho going to win it? Is Kurt Angle going to win it? And point being, it really was a springboard for a lot of guys. You know what I mean? Steve Austin was that.
Triple H won the 1997. I don't know if I was reading, so I don't know if Bill said it.
It's Hunter Hearst, I believe.
Yeah, but
gotcha. So Austin was 96?
Yep, so he won it the next year.
Gotcha. Another guy that I think had a pretty good run, Triple H.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like I said, it really was something that these guys could kind of walk into the room and say, I have arrived. I deserve to be here. Like, as stupid as it might sound, and I'm not trying to be condescending, it was like, there's the main eventers over here, and I am the king of everybody else. Like, don't get me wrong. There are us and thems, but I probably belong in the thems. And I just really enjoy that conceptually. And what I think they got away from now, the last, we've talked about this on the show and it's been years now because it hasn't been super relevant. But to me, as a nerd, the last real King of the Ring is Brock Lesnar.
Correct.
I would agree with that.
And I don't mean like the 2002 King of the Ring was Rikishi, and I don't accept that.
Well, Brock, yeah, no.
They stopped making it a pay-per-view.
So, well, more importantly, it's consecutive years
right.
up till 2002. Then it takes a break, comes back in 06, then 08, then 10, then 15, then now. So
yeah.
It wasn't a consistent. That was the last time it was an annual event.
Yep.
And the four iterations since Brock Lesnar have kind of been a joke.
Has it been since 2000 and Brock Lesnar won in 2002? Since 2002, has it been a tournament we start on TV that culminates at a pay-per-view?
No.
I don't recall.
No, all of them have been on
Raw
TV tournaments.
Exactly.
Maybe with the exception of the 2015 one, but I remember all of them being on TV tournaments. At most, the final might be on the pay-per-view, but for the most part...
And that pay-per-view was not called
King of the Ring. Right, it was called something else.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you look at the people after Brock Lesnar, Booker T, and we're going to get to the gimmick that I absolutely hate the most, William Regal, Sheamus, and Bad News Barrett, that those names don't, oddly enough, the people that they all beat feel better.
Well, the thing about...
Because the list of runners-up are Bobby Lashley, CM Punk, John Morrison, and Neville.
And those are the guys that absolutely should have been much more in that. Like, so here's the thing. Like, Barrett is fine on name, right? Because Barrett is
where he was at the time.
Right, and that's something that, in theory, back in the day, they would have been like, oh, they went with Barrett. You know what I mean? Oh, they went with Billy Gunn. They went with Ken Shamrock. It would have felt like one of those kind of guys.
Right.
But let's see what happens. And the Sheamus is fine in theory. The two names that I really have a problem with, you don't like the King Booker character. I didn't have a problem with the character because as much as the idea that Booker T was already, I don't know if he ever talked about it, a five-time WCW champion, had won a couple world titles in WWE. He was probably a 6 or 7 or 8-time world champion that didn't need to win Rookie of the Year, which is really what the, you know, King of the Ring kind of boiled down to in the first place. And then William Regal in his 50s, God bless his heart, didn't need to win this up-and-coming tournament either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when we look at the names that are involved in this year's tournament, I actually really like this crop because, like, Kevin Owens is a former Universal Champion. But he does feel like a guy that could kind of use a springboard kind of win to maybe get an excuse to jump back up there a little bit.
The Miz,
former WWE champion.
Multi-time Intercontinental champion.
But what those two guys do right there specifically, and The Miz is a great example as well, I'm glad you brought him up, is add some credibility to the pool because it means that established guys want it too.
Correct. I would agree wholeheartedly with that, you know, because that's kind of where the names end, right? Maybe Cesaro kind of falls in there.
Right, but he has not won much.
He's a U.S. Intercontinental tag guy, you know, and so that's kind of where he floats in there. But yeah, there's a long list of people that could benefit greatly from this, Kevin Owens included. Because if we're doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin thing, I feel like we gotta keep that train rolling.
The only thing I'll throw out here, and it's not even being like whatever. It's I would swap either Shelton Benjamin or maybe I don't know. I guess my guy's the guy. The answer looking at this list would be Shelton Benjamin that I would pop up. Maybe Gable, but I like him a lot. But and put in. Xavier Woods, just only because when the second they announced the tournament, Xavier Woods tweeted out, he goes, this is all caps. This is my favorite thing in wrestling. Please, God, please, WWE, please let me in this tournament. I want to be in this tournament so bad.
Yeah.
And Shelton Benjamin isn't a must have.
No.
You know what I mean? And if Xavier was, even if he was out in the first round, you could just tell that guy really wanted to be part of this.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I'm throwing out there.
Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, sure. But at least I think they're going to really try with Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy could very well be in the finals of this thing.
Well, here's the thing. Buddy Murphy put on a hell of a match with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, did you see SmackDown. It was Japanese influence, too. He's using, you know, kind of
said that to Bill while we were watching it. Yep. He, at one point, did Kota Ibushi's knee that he beat Okada with.
Three in a row.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And Rome kicked out.
So that's my only yeah, but just because Xavier Woods wanted to be in it so bad, so let's let the guy in it so bad.
Yeah.
But the you're looking at the field, and
that's also so classic WWE.
Yeah, this guy really, really wants to be in it. And you're like, no.
We're just going to put this other guy that's not on TV ever.
Right, yeah, right.
This guy's not on TV
in his 40s.
In his 40s.
Yeah. That we brought back like a year and a half ago for the Chad Gable factor, and they're not even a tag team anymore.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so I want to say that Shelton Benjamin versus Shawn Michaels, that was technically a King of the Ring
match.
That
was actually a Gold Rush tournament. I was at that Raw, actually.
Okay, all right. I knew there was
some sort of tournament, but it wasn't King of the Ring.
Okay, I knew that there was something like that, and I was like, that would be the
best
only
match I've ever seen live.
Is that...
So the thing about the King of the Ring tournament is what I... Here's my trepidation with WWE when it comes to stuff like this, right? Things that kind of hit the ear, but I wonder if they're going to have any significance and consequence. A little bit later on, I'm sure we're going to be talking about Bray Wyatt, right?
Right.
And the common denominator in every single conversation that you and I have is, yep, if WWE will do it, you know what I mean? Because it's never about like, geez, I can't think of a thing to do with Bray Wyatt. It's, no, we can think of too many things to do with Bray Wyatt. Will WWE ever pick one? You know what I mean? With this... What I have an issue with is when they just throw around stuff like Starrcade. And you're like, oh, cool, they're going to do Starrcade? And they're like, yeah, it's a house show in North Carolina. And it's like, oh. And with this, it's just like, we're bringing back the King of the Ring. It's like, oh, they're going to do a pay-per-view and all that stuff. It's like, nah, it's going to be some matches on Raw. And it's like, okay, so again, not being pessimistic here because I like the King of the Ring and all that stuff, and it's fine. It gives you, it's content on TV. You and I are looking for like reasons to watch. Cool. If there's this tournament, that's okay. But my only thing will be if, let's just say, Ricochet wins and they put a crown on him and give him a nickname, is that it? Is he going to use that? Is it going to be how, like, is it going to be how how Braun Strowman is the Saudi Arabia champion and that doesn't actually mean anything? Is it going to be like, you know what I mean? Because this could be a very big launching pad kind of thing, or you could give it to Baron Corbin and it's just so he can be douchier and that doesn't do a ton to me.
Yeah, right. So looking back at past King of the Rings, prior to, and I'm going to go with all of the real ones, right? Because Brock Lesnar and Edge and Kurt Angle and Billy Gunn and Stone Cold and Triple H didn't win this tournament and become British. That was never a thing that was a part of their character, right? Maybe Owen Hart was douchey about it. And like maybe Kurt Angle was like, you know, when they were in England, he was like, I'm the king of wrestling. And that means I'm the king of England. Maybe he did something corny and dorky like that. But it was endearing, right? Brock Lesnar was never King Lesnar, which probably sounds way better than the people I'm about to mention, where Booker T goes from being like a very established person, right? Except for that really weird time where he lost Booker T and had to be G.I. Bro. So maybe whatever. But he was King Booker and now he's British and that's stupid. And then William Regal is more kingly and that's stupid. And Sheamus becomes King Sheamus.
See, King Sheamus is the bad one to me because like what I'll give Booker T credit for is he goes, I haven't reinvented myself in a little while. And King Booker is at least memorable. I'll give William Regal a pass. He is British. Yeah, Sheamus just being like, I'm the king or whatever. It's like, nah, that's dumb. And like, yeah, it didn't have to be about being like you said, like it almost devalues it when you're like, I'm the king now. It's like, no, man, you should just be like a tournament winner and the tournament should mean
like,
something.
Yeah.
Like the king of the
Will Ospreay isn't, well, it's called the best of the Super Juniors. So he walks around being like, I'm the best of the Super Juniors.
But you know what? But also, you know what he doesn't wear? A cape.
Right.
Because he's a Super Junior now.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And it's just like, it killed Bad News Barrett because he went from a gimmick that everybody actually liked to King Barrett.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, this is dumb.
The only person that I would accept having the nickname would be King Ricochet because he's had that for years.
That's been, yeah. So, he has been King Ricochet.
I don't need King Corbin, which is also what they would definitely call him.
He was also a prince once too.
He was.
Yep. Mm. He was
a puma.
Yep. Mm. He was. Yeah. Exactly. That was in an alternate universe that I'm pretty sure, unfortunately, no longer
exists. It was underground.
It doesn't, and it's really sad. Brian Cage is really sad about it. We talked about it and hugged and cried.
It, the more that more time goes on, the less likely it is the project gets picked up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
R.I.P. Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
A great. Great concept with great Anything execution, and just you know, you need to. It's wrestling's one of those things where there's a huge audience, but some people are just afraid to try new things, and unfortunately, it's most people.
It's all the people.
Yeah, but you're right. But yeah, that you are correct, because although there are guys that could take the obnoxious factor to a fun level, like The Miz if he wanted to, Sami Zayn if he wanted to, I don't want that.
No,
with like the royalty aspect of it. And like I said, the only two people that I could see kind of having the nickname really, really stick. King Ricochet, because it's built in, or King Corbin, because two things. Vince loves alliteration, and because that guy being the primo douche that calls himself the king now,
yeah,
is right up that character's alley.
Right.
So looking at the field, and Bill, did you announce the field?
I did not, but okay. I have it up on the screen right now for all the listeners here. And from Raw, we have The Miz, Ricochet, Cedric Alexander, Drew McIntyre, Cesaro, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, and Samoa Joe.
Great field.
And from SmackDown.
And SmackDown is Elias, King Kevin Owens, Chad Gable, Andrade, Shelton Benjamin, Buddy Murphy, Ali, and Apollo Crews.
Now, forgive me for asking and using the word plan, but is it to have the Raw tournament winner face the SmackDown tournament winner? Okay,
yeah.
Terrific.
Because, and that was going to be the point I was about to break up, this is WWE seeing what other people are doing, imitating it. Like what the quote unquote internet is saying is cool.
Like the juniors tournament?
Like the G1 that has been going on and everybody is talking about and how great it is and how great Jon Moxley is and that how fantastic that guy is now that he's not in WWE anymore. But you look at the King of the Ring, it's like, yeah, we'll do a tournament. Yeah, we'll do it and it'll climax at a pay-per-view and yeah, we're gonna do it. And it's just like, cool. That's in theory great that you're bringing the King of the Ring tournament back, but what does it mean?
I asked this question on Twitter, and I wasn't joking. Has there ever been an example, and if there is, please name it. Has there ever been an example of wrestling shade more on the nose than, quote, the only club that matters?
Yeah.
No.
Can you think of any shade ever that's more like, well, that's tough to have it be like, what, man? We weren't talking about you.
Oh, no. And it's also...
the only club that matters.
It also shows you how dumb they are.
Because they're fighting Bullet Club in 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should be taking shots at AEW, you idiots. Yeah. Because Vince McMahon doesn't know what Bullet Club actually is and that Cody and the Bucks aren't in it anymore.
Yeah, that's not a thing they're in.
Right. Like, you're taking...
You gotta start talking about being elite.
Yeah, exactly. Next week, they're going to start really taking subliminal jabs at the Main Event Mafia.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, why are you taking shots at Bullet Club in 2019? Guess what? Bullet Club, unfortunately, guy with a t-shirt in the front row, isn't actually that relevant anymore.
Well, and if you look at it, it's not the classic Bullet Club shirt.
Right.
It's the Hangman Page shirt.
Custom, right.
It's the Young Bucks shirt. It's the Marty Scurll, the Kenny Omega.
It's going to be AEW merch, but you're so behind. Like, remember, like... 2 years too late when John Cena came out with that, like, keep calm and, like, be John Cena.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like, what? We're so over that poster. You know what I mean? And that's what this is. It's just like, how come 2 years ago or last year, like, All In was last September, a year ago.
Yes.
How come last year you didn't have the only club that matters? Like, Bullet Club is not...
Because they ostrich. You know? They ostrich.
Yeah.
And they stick their head in the sand until whatever that thing breaks up all the dirt around them and their head can't be buried anymore.
Yeah. Like right now, you're taking, you think you're taking a shot at Cody and the Bucks and you're taking a shot at Kenta and Bad Luck Fale.
Yeah.
I'm a genius.
Yep.
Thank you.
It's great shit. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you the same thing I ask the fans every single time there's a title match on a pay per view at New Age Insiders. When you look at this field, who do you want to win, and who will win?
I think that we're going to have... I want Kevin Owens to win. I think Elias is going to win.
Wow, that is... go for it. Why do you want that, and why do you think that?
So, Kevin Owens... we've been doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin thing, and giving him... You know, right now we're tied up with Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston in one title picture, and then the Universal title looks like it's going to be Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins. Plus, Kevin Owens is not on that show, so there's all that sort of nonsense. We're clearly involved in the Vince McMahon Austin-esque storyline between Shane and Kevin Owens. That doesn't seem to have subsided. So giving Kevin Owens some big win without having to strap a championship on him is something that could be very beneficial to, like, piss off the man, the McMahon, and also, like, give Kevin Owens more credibility as the the unlikely hero.
100%. And so on this week on SmackDown, when Kevin Owens was in the ring to kick off the show, Shane McMahon came out and he was belittling him for attacking Elias, who was wearing a referee jersey.
Yeah.
And he fined him $100,000 for attacking a WWE official. And Kevin Owens was going on saying that, you know, $100,000 means a lot more to me than it means to you. You know, it's going to cost me my family's livelihood, whatever, whatever. And it just feels like that now that King of the Ring is coming up and they're both in the tournament on right. SmackDown, that side at least might come down to Kevin Owens and Elias.
Right. And then the other thing, too, is the flip side as to why I think it's going to be Elias is the exact same reason as why The Rock was the corporate champion. Right. Elias is the handpicked McMahon guy.
Right.
And if you're going to have the bad guy do something, especially somebody like Elias, same deal. I want him to win something big so you take him seriously. We're going to say that this is a big deal. So Elias gets a cheap win for, you know, beating Kevin Owens and ultimately winning the King of the Ring. And so he gets to be like, ha ha, Kevin, I'm the King of the Ring.
Okay.
Ha ha. And so it just, again, shocking. Everything comes down to complex storytelling and character development.
It's the question whether they'll do it or not.
No, no. It's going to be King Ricochet because Ricochet.
I'm going to say that the best selection here, if I had to pick, like, I think who the best selection overall would be Drew McIntyre, because two reasons. One, I desperately need to establish something about Drew McIntyre, because here's the thing, which just the way that wrestling works, and everything could turn on a dime, and I know that the points don't matter. I get you, but he is dangerously close to being wasted for the second time, because so far during his big epic call up from NXT, he has been Shane McMahon's friend.
Yep.
He has been somebody that has done a lot of talking and not a lot of winning. He has been Dolph Ziggler's tag team partner.
They were champions.
Sure. And that's, has he won, and he has not won the Intercontinental Championship, correct?
No.
Right? I can't think of it. He's not won the United States Championship, correct?
No. Nope.
Which means he has not won a singles championship, correct? Which means, like, he is just one of those guys that is just here. And he is too goddamn tall and big and tree-like to just be here. The guy, I don't want to hear that, you know, in 2 years we read some article that said, like, yeah, the accent, though, you know what I mean? Because he's too Scottish, you know, hashtag Cesaro. And it's just like, this guy is such a physical specimen with all the tools to be somebody, at the very least more than he is right now, that maybe this, you know, moniker of King of the Ring can kind of boot him up a little bit and give him something to do. Because right now he's just like some guy. He's some guy. You know what I mean? The person that I think will win is Baron Corbin.
Because King Corbin is too...
Yeah, because it's so, fitting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, King Corbin, and it's such a douchey thing that he can carry around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, like, because the Kurt Angle thing is worn off, so we got to give him something new douchey.
Exactly, and if he just, like, comes back from obscurity, because he hasn't been on TV in weeks, and if he just comes back from obscurity and wins this thing and then gets to call himself a king and then, like, go on Twitter and make everybody, you know, do these videos where it's like, bow to me because he's such a douche online, you know, which is good. You're supposed to hate the bad guys. These are secret compliments.
Right. At the same time, you know, he doesn't get the type of praise that MJF does.
Yeah, being an asshole.
For being an asshole, because Bill's met the guy.
Yes.
And as far as Bill, you know, and that's the only one I got to go off
Bill played golf with him.
He's actually a really
super
nice guy.
Super nice dude.
So I'm assuming that this is a more MJF approach, where if he wasn't in WWE, everybody would just be slobbering all over his knob.
Yeah. sure. That is something to think about. But it, or any other guy, like I said earlier, you know, I could easily see Ricochet winning this tournament because King Ricochet, and because what they like to do is give you things like not championships, but titles, right, accolades. Like, yeah. Braun Strowman is the Saudi Arabia champion, and I think the Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner.
Yeah, he's a
right,
the Saudi Arabian Greatest Royal Rumble.
Right, champion. And isn't he the current Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner?
Yes.
And those are just things we get to say without any actually meaning anything. And this tournament, unfortunately, as much as you and I have hyped it up, could just wind up being something that happens, we tell you you won, and then it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then it just goes to Ricochet, so we can just be like, yeah, it's King Ricochet, and we just use monikers instead of development.
Yeah, what is next, Bill?
Yeah.
Oh, this was so good.
The internet's making quite a fuss about this.
Yeah, damn. Bray Wyatt has officially returned into an in-ring capacity at SummerSlam, but not Raw because they're terrible.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to talk about that because, so the first thing, the jumping off point is definitely like, what do you think of The Fiend? What do you think of The Mask? What do you think of what he did with Finn Balor? All that stuff. But then I definitely want to talk to you about the fact that they did not follow that momentum up and have him be part of Monday Night's program, which I think we both agree was a mistake. So, but let's start with the good stuff, which was if you want to talk about, and I know the irony of what I'm about to say because of part two, I understand is palpable. However, you're talking about how people are looking for, quote, reasons to watch. Ratings are not doing awesome. Fan confidence has been wavering as of late, and you're looking for reasons to watch. Why should I tune? Other than the fact that I like WWE, why would I watch the show? You know what I mean? And Bray Wyatt on Sunday night presumably became one for a lot of people. It was meme-worthy, that Johnny Gargano face when he's watching the reaction live and stuff like that. You had celebrities and people just kind of everywhere being like, holy crap, what's going on? And it was a captivating reason to watch and something that you were like, I need to see what happens next. It was like almost this awesome trailer for a movie that you're hoping to see and, you know, maybe even get the extended cut on Monday or something. And so, but I do want to start there. The severed head of Bray Wyatt becomes this guy's new lantern, the new look. He did the thing I wanted the absolute most, which was keep the mask on during the match. I kind of think this is how we see him. I'm almost convinced that we don't see Bray Wyatt unmasked unless it's the Firefly Funhouse.
Probably.
Moving forward, which is the way that I would go with it. But just what do you think of a trimmer, leaner, more in-shape competitor, a character that's taken a big step forward, and just kind of everything that comes with it?
It's shocking that I spent 5 years on this programming saying, hey, if we have complex and interesting characters, people will enjoy this show more. And then a guy who has always been a very complex and complicated character shows up and everybody loses their ever-loving shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I am a host of an evil children's television program, and I'm also some sort of Satan demon. And now I show up, and I got this cool mask on, and I'm very interesting looking, and I'm carrying the lantern that I always did when I was a cult leader, but now it's the personification of me because it's my severed head. So now I'm disassociating myself from this character, and then, yeah, you go in there, and then the guy that can actually wrestle goes in there, wrestles, and it's secondary as to what happened, but he won, so now everybody's just like, God damn it, I gotta see what happens with this Fiend.
Okay.
Oh, shocking. I'm shocked.
So I will, my initial jump off reactions are just to be like, yeah, Bray Wyatt, has never suffered from lack of presentation, but this was particularly interesting because, like, yeah, this is a major step forward from, like, you know, the guy that started out. It's going to be funny when we look back at, like, clips from 2014-ish when he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt doing all the, you know what I mean? Right, and I'm not talking about Husky Harris stuff. Talking about walking out with Harper and Rowan in Hawaii, like, looking like he's, like...
Yeah, he's evil Lou Albano.
Right, exactly, like he owns, like, Evil Island, you know what I mean? mean?
Yeah.
And
Evil Fantasy Island.
You know what I mean, right? And
yeah, he's Admiral Lou Albano.
Yes. And going from that guy to the guy that almost had this like kind of like butcher's smock on, implying that he was like, you know, severing bodies when he, you know, at home and stuff like that, to a guy that, yeah, this seems to be whatever has been in Bray Wyatt the whole time is now in charge, which is super cool, is interesting from a storytelling perspective. And it's a physical change, because what he did a great job is, it's like he didn't just smack on the mask. I think it's a point worth making that he's gotten himself into really good physical shape, a noticeable, like, different aesthetic. So it's like everything about you is different. If I put a picture over here of Bray Wyatt from a few years ago, you're unrecognizable from the person in the ring right now. And I just... he's the best character-driven guy they've had in a long time, and he's in complete control of who he wants to be. On the other side, I have no idea how you don't follow that up on Monday with something.
Yeah.
With anything.
I talked about it on the post-show, the SummerSlam post-show, where it's like, yeah, cool, Seth Rollins won, but there was nothing on this show that makes me need to tune into the TV, and I didn't. Because it didn't, nothing was pressing for me to watch it.
Yeah, Seth Rollins is a terrific performer and a fine choice to be the champion of any promotion, but he's not a reason to watch just for him. And he's certainly not a reason to watch all 3 hours. Now, with Bray Wyatt, like, look, we were talking about this off the air, and I want to play both sides of it because I want to have as fair an argument as we can. I think it is wise, on paper, for WWE to perhaps pull Wyatt back a little bit, in the sense of that he's not on every single week just doing something for the sake of doing it, right? Him going out there and giving the mandible claw to Curt Hawkins is not probably worth that guy's time. So if it's not something worth doing, maybe we don't do it, right? And I'd like to give them credit that I agree, less is more. But to me, as just, you know, somebody, a fan of fiction, somebody that's done production and stuff, you know, you come from TV and movies, I don't understand. We talk about this over and over and over again. The point of the pay-per-view is to get you to watch the TV, so you get hooked on the TV, so you'll buy the pay-per-view. And this guy was a show full of memories between, you know, Seth Rollins winning that championship, and Becky Lynch did a great job, and Goldberg broke Dolph Ziggler, and there was like real memories from SummerSlam, and everybody's talking about this entrance. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you don't have him do anything on Monday. I would have given you much bigger pass if you had him do something this past Monday and then kept him off TV for 2 weeks, because you're like, we're going to figure out something for you to do. But I just think it was a poor decision, although I want to throw that point out there to give him some credit that maybe they're trying the less is more thing. This is a company that are gluttonous for beating me over the head with content, content, content. The thing you like, we read on Twitter you liked this one thing. Now it's all you get. The fact that they kept him off completely, I think that's a mistake.
It is a mistake. You also talk about the presentation, right? Words mean things, especially in WWE. And the amount of Undertaker comparisons that they were making for this guy. This guy is commanding such a presence that hasn't been seen since The Undertaker. You know, WWE is saying that.
Well, that last ride look over the shoulder thing, right, too. I mean, like, that is just... I mean, you could put those side by side.
Right, exactly. And so it's like, you're presenting him this way, you know? And it's like, yeah, everybody lost their ever-loving shit over this guy. Why isn't he on Monday? Because that's what everybody wants to see.
It's like, again... wild to me, because it's like, okay, so if there's somebody at home being like, well, what do you want Bray Wyatt to do? You just said that he should only be doing big things. What do you want him to do? Like, it's not time for him to fight for the title yet. Then what I would tell you is,
why do we have to wait?
Right. Why do we have to wait? Or, like, you can't think of anything for him to do in the meantime? Like, I agree. I can't wait for him to go after Seth Rollins either. And maybe the plan wasn't for him to be next in line and you were a little surprised that he got blown away. But here's what I'm already a little bit worried about, if I'm being honest with you. And this is something I definitely want to get your opinion on. And it worries me because they already edited his entrance on YouTube.
Yeah.
To not highlight the lantern that was his head. And, like, look, it's that head lantern isn't everything. Like, there are more important things, right. But I think it's a big microcosm of, like, are they actually going to put this guy in a box?
Right.
Because it's like, look, if the head lantern thing bothers you, I bet you he had more twisted stuff planned.
Yeah.
And are they going to let him be all that he could be?
Yeah.
Part of me feels like that head lantern thing might be a YouTube issue where it was, like, flagged or something as, like, graphic content or something like that.
Yeah.
And maybe they got, like, a knock for it or something.
I hope so.
Pardon me, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt that I think it's a YouTube thing.
Probably, because YouTube is not great.
But if that lantern head goes away, that sucks.
Yeah, well, and that's this company, right? Is the company just sucks at actually figuring out what people are in on, right? Everything's made up and the points don't matter,
mm-hmm.
right? And yeah, on Monday, the plan is now supposed to be Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman. Well, you know what? Everybody lost their mind, right?
Yeah, that's not something we just can't skip.
Yeah, right. Nothing, and it's not like,
or it might even be him and AJ. I don't know.
It's going to be Braun Strowman. I mean, he fended off the club and then, like, stared down. You know, he stared down Seth as he handed him the title. Yeah, it's definitely.
And there's been so many reports over the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks that Vince was tearing up the SmackDown script at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday. It's like, you can't use that as an excuse then.
Right.
Change the freaking plan.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're so right. It's like, no, dude, we have the next 6 weeks planned out.
No, you don't. Well, and it's also like, there's no harm. Like, Seth Rollins won the title, lost it to Brock, and then won it back a month later. So the stats don't mean anything.
Right. It's okay to call an audible. This
right.
guy's hot. Call the audible.
Yeah, cool. We're gonna hot shot him. You're gonna fight Seth. You're gonna be super spooky and win. And then if everybody is like, oh, that's stupid and boring, then yeah, we're gonna put it back on Seth. Because
eventually
if the plan is Seth and whoever at the WrestleMania, if that's ultimately what you care about, you can get the title back on Seth by then, or you put it on Bray Wyatt and everybody loves it, and then it's just like, oh yeah, I guess we'll just roll with this.
And like Becky Lynch. Right,
and
9.5 out of 10 WrestleMania main events are good guys beating bad guys who are the champions anyway. You know what I mean? Very, very few, I can't think of many at all, where the good guy just walks in there and retains. So you have him beat Bray Wyatt.
This past WrestleMania was all like fan yay moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was like, oh, we're really into Seth Rollins because we don't want Brock Lesnar to win. So Seth Rollins won. Yay. Oh, you know, Kofi Kingston. We really, really want Kofi Kingston. He won. Yay. Oh, we really, really want Becky Lynch to win. Oh, she won. Yay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And it's like, oh, and everybody loved that WrestleMania.
I get it if they're like, look, Bray Wyatt will win something, but it's not yet. And if it's not going to be the next guy, then we don't know. We don't want him to win. Waste his time. I understand all those things, but there's got to be something you can creatively do with him to at least get him on the show Monday when everybody's talking about him. That's it. Even if he doesn't enter a program, if he, you know, throw another legend at him,
you know what I mean?
To give the mandible claw to, but he should have been part of the show.
To me, that's not an acceptable answer, right? It's not an acceptable answer when you debut a guy and everybody loses their mind about it because you debuted him in such a way and you put effort behind it so that people would lose their mind, you know? And so it's like,
it's just the first time in wrestling that, you know, like when you ride hot stuff and, you know, you ride the hot stuff, guys, you know what I mean? It's like everybody was talking about this dude.
Right.
How do you not find a way to get him on there somehow, some way?
Right.
You know what I mean? You tell me like, well, it's not the time to enter the program. I just haven't beat like,
why?
Something.
Why isn't it?
Something.
Wrestling people are stupid.
Right.
Like, honestly, we have an epic season finale on a TV show where this secondary character does something hyper badass. Right. I can't come up with something off of the cuff, but it's just like, yeah, this secondary character ultimately kills like the third bad guy in charge in an epic moment. And it's like, yeah, so now we're just not going to do anything with this secondary character, even though for the entire time people are talking about him. No, we got to give him something to do that people are going to like. And wrestling is like, no, we had this program in mind because we need to have Braun Strowman versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah, so we can try to get Seth Rollins over, which is a losing effort, I think, all things considered. The reports are like, we need to make Seth Rollins cool. It's like, you can't make somebody cool. It's
right.
It's impossible.
Then you dye his hair again.
Right, cast the Fonz right the first time, and then you made that guy cool. But you can't make somebody cool. What do we got?
Oh, it's boss time.
Oh, thanks for saying that. So... what the people are and the folks at home have been talking about in one of the bigger moments on Monday night is the return of Sasha Banks. So for the past, it's got to be close to 4 months now. Her last appearance was WrestleMania 35. Sasha Banks has been off TV. She has not been shy about expressing her feelings in going on vacation and taking pictures and sending cryptic messages about butterflies and about how I think she is one or something like that. There's at least a cocoon involved. But Sasha Banks had been kind of traveling and taking some time to herself, which in theory, by the way, in all sincerity, I don't have issue with on paper is like needing a break and needing to heal your ear in an unbelievably physically daunting sport. And your body needs time, your mind needs time, I get it. Whether or not you agree with her kind of take her ball and go home mentality is something else, but just sort of, you know, as we talk about, she is back, a multiple time WWE Women's Champion. She's back. Her hair is blue. She has targeted Becky Lynch. Just what do you think?
Great. Great. The thing with her coming back, this actually kind of gives you a bigger stance for why wrestlers need an off season. Not all of them at once, but wrestlers at a certain time. I was getting really fed up with Becky Lynch and her crop of challengers, you know, going from Lacey Evans to Flip Damn Heart,
Natty.
You know, to go into Natty. And it was just like, wrestling Alexa. And it's just like, yeah, I don't, you know, we tapped out here.
This roster and this show will be better with her than without her.
Right. And so, well, now you inject, again, a character came back that has a clear-cut motivation. We don't know what the motivation is yet, but she came in, she attacked Becky Lynch. You know,
and if you're abreast of the WWE universe, you know that Becky Lynch got interviewed recently on a video that's made the rounds where she basically called Sasha Banks a bitch for not showing up. You know what I mean? The bitch in the sense of being cowardly, not in the sense of being a mean girl, for, you know, taking your ball and going home and pouting. Right. And basically the whole interview, the whole promo was, I would fight Sasha Banks, no problem. The issue is she's not here. And so whether or not that was
real,
planned
real.
Off the cuff, you kind of know with that video floating around that if you connect some dots that she, in theory, what the character, and again, for God forgive me for trying to make character motivation part of the show.
Right.
In theory, Sasha Banks, was having a tough time and figuring herself out, saw Becky Lynch call her out and goes like, oh, you want some? Here it is. Because she didn't randomly attack Carmella, you know what I mean? Or Dana Brooke, she attacks somebody that called her out. So,
shocking.
Believe it or not, there's a reason that Sasha Banks would be mad at Becky Lynch and want to go out there and beat her up. It's not just because she's a champion.
Right.
She goes, oh, yeah, you have shit to talk? Well, here I am and my hair is blue. Dabu dee, dabu die.
Yep.
What do you think about her? Because this is something that I'm thrilled about immediately. What do you think about her being a bad guy?
Great. Awesome. We need an awesome bad guy.
Long time coming.
We need a bad guy.
Well, it's the best version of her.
Right.
It's not, I agree with you that
NXT.
I agree with you that they, you know, could always bolster up some heels, but they've got quality bad guys, you know, quality female bad guys. Alexa Bliss, Mandy Rose, Charlotte Flair. They've got quality, you know, female bad guys. I just think that this is the best version of Sasha Banks.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest thing to me is, like, she as this bubblegum looking, for, you know, buddies with Bailey character. It's just nothing. You know what I mean?
Thank God she's away from Bailey too, because Bailey's the SmackDown champion.
Right. The next time that she should interact with Bailey, she should kick her in the dick.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that's what should actually
happen. Yeah, we don't like you anymore.
Right. That's what it is. What should be, because, like, Sasha Banks, like, whatever you think about her and whatever you think about the last 4 months and what she's done, whatever you think about that, if you don't think that Sasha Banks is a talented, compelling, in-ring storyteller and a valuable asset to any women's roster, I just think you're mistaken. like, again, I don't agree with everything she does. I don't agree with her her hardcore fan base about who she is necessarily.
Right.
But I definitely understand and appreciate that this like I said, this sounds like almost condescending or not like a real compliment, but I mean it. This roster is better with her than without her. Yeah. That's not something that I would say about, like, if they lost, you know, Liv Morgan tomorrow. Liv Morgan's just fine, but I don't think that she moves the needle at all.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks is a needle mover. She know what I mean? That's the difference. And it's and her fans are energized. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're behind her.
Here's a fun shout out that Monday was Callie's birthday, and Sasha Banks came back.
That's really fun.
You know
what
I mean?
That is right.
So that's, you know, pretty cool. You know, we know, happy birthday.
And it's probably ironic that I don't think she was home.
Yeah, right. But like this is a genuine fan favorite and a talented performer. Good on you. Welcome back. I'm excited to see what's next for her because, you know, don't sleep on that. You know, I know it's been a few years now, but I mean, she's been a credible, fun, bad guy on the main roster. Her work in NXT was awesome.
Right.
So I mean, there should be a lot of reason for optimism. Sasha Banks being back, you know, even is again, she's not everything I think her hardcore fans want you to think she is, but the show got better. And Becky Lynch, like you said, Becky Lynch needed the villain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. She's a
Well, because it couldn't be Charlotte. We already closed that chapter.
Right, exactly. And Ronda Rousey isn't on the radar, and nor do
but
I...
But even still, that bad guy's gone, too.
Right, she did beat Ronda at Mania.
She beat that bad guy.
Yep.
So there wasn't a looming bad guy that she hasn't taken out yet.
This is just good all around. It's good for Banks to be back. It's good for fans to get to see her. And it's good for Becky Lynch to have a real... You know, we've talked about this a lot. I think that this translates through fiction. And wrestling's fiction, right? So, but I think this translates through fiction. The reason that Batman is the best superhero character isn't just because he's a billionaire ninja. It's because his repertoire of villains is undoubtedly the best, right?
Yeah.
Supermans are stupid. Spider-Man's, in my opinion, the second best. But the issue with Batman, the reason that Batman's so great is because he doesn't have powers, so his villains don't have to be absurd.
Right.
If you're
the Hulk villains are the worst.
Are absurd because they're just basically these mountains, you know what I mean? Of like abominable alien people thing.
Right.
And like you get like even Superman has to be like Abomination and stuff, which is basically just this 15-foot mass of shapes that is bigger than Superman, so maybe he's screwed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because when Superman can do everything and the villains have to be a threat, what do they have to be? And so Batman is the best, long story short, because the Joker doesn't have to be able to fly to be a great villain. They have to be able to use their minds sometimes. And what Becky Lynch has needed, I think, to kind of keep this The Man thing going is a villain that is of her ilk that plays off of her. You know what I mean? And with all the love in the world to somebody who I think is an unappreciated performer, Natty is not that answer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Sasha Banks certainly can be.
Oh, it's also so stupid where it's like, we're friends and now we're not friends.
Yeah, and just... I think that Natalia Hart is a underappreciated performer.
Yeah.
But in 2019, as we rocket toward 2020, I don't think that she was the answer. Although their match at SummerSlam was great, and that's because Natty's great and Becky Lynch is very good.
Right.
But yeah, just long story short, you need Piper to make Hogan better.
Right.
And Sasha Banks is gonna make this whole, you know, whole thing better. Whole thing better. The whole show, the fan base is better. It's gonna be better. I am happy she's back. I think it's just a good thing. And a very good thing is patreon.com/newageinsiders. That's a beautiful thing. You'll make friends, you'll have daily rewards, you'll get 5 shows a month. Right now, the most fun we have, Be Heard, is up there. We've had a hugely positive response to this month's Be Heard. Everybody's loving it. You can listen to it right now if you go to patreon.com/newageinsiders. Thank you guys so much for joining us on twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. We are going to be rolling over to patreon.com/newageinsiders. We're going to talk about Matt Riddle and how he's feuding with the past and whether or not we think that's wise for his future. and a whole lot more. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. Don't miss it. Your support goes a long way. Is there anything else you guys would like to get out there before we sign off?
No.
I think we're good.
Thank you for joining us on kind of an abridged version, life and people and plans, and we wanted to give you the show that we give you every week, and thank you so much for joining us. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders to talk all about what's going on over there, bro. And thank you so much for the support. My name's been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
And we're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all over the place, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. The website is newageinsiders.com, twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. We're jumping over to patreon.com/newageinsiders, and you have made us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.